Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This week on the Beard Laws Podcast.
Speaking of which, the devil just texted me. Let's see what she had to say. Okay, she just texted me the size of something so she can remember it.
Those Ninja Turtles had it so much better back in the day.
My brother in Christ, my dad had a waterbed. We lived in a trailer.
I feel like waterbeds and trailers went together in the 70s and 80s like peanut butter and jelly, though.
Here's what I want to know. How the hell do you make whoopee on a waterbed? How are you getting any kind of like pushback with your knees? You know what I mean? You got to stand off the bed to get it done. Even at 5 years old, thought to myself, that waterbed's going to go bye-bye.
Why is the hamburger in jail?
Is it food jail, honey? Because food, it's a bad hamburger.
In the realm of beard loss, a trio strong and true. You've been Brandon and Beard Loss with tales both old and new. Their whiskers like a forest, their knowledge like a stream, guiding us through beardom and culinary dream. Beard Loss, the sage of facial grace, with whiskers flowing, setting the pace. You've been the jester in clouds of green, laughs and wisdom and sight unseen. Brandon J. McDermott, Food Daddy Supreme, a feast of facts, a culinary dream.
We're back, everybody. How about that for an intro? Did you know that that song was probably created by an AI thing? Because AI is awesome. Found this cool thing when we were chatting with Burley and Goot the other day. And it was like, it's like a Google project. It's something kitchen. I'll have to send a link if you ever want it. And you can type in words and it comes and it makes royalty free beats. It's pretty cool. And if you're a streamer, they have a DJ mode. So you can actually change it and it'll keep playing and you can adjust on the fly. And so it's friggin' cool. What else is cool? The Deluxe Edition Network. Shout out to them in a podcast of the month. Only got a couple more. It's actually this show, Brandon, the Beard Laws Podcast. Lucky us. And Bacon Is My Pod. Who doesn't love podcasts? Who doesn't love bacon? Check them out. Bacon Is My Pod. Don't check out the Beard Laws Podcast. I heard those guys, they stink. But either way, check out DeluxeEditionNetwork.com. Super excited to be on there. And the time of the recording, Brandon, happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patty's Day. Whether you spell it Saint or the abbreviation, the day of the recording, got a couple of mix on St. Patrick's Day. Euban, whacking off, is under the weather. Hopefully he feels better soon. But happy St. Patrick's Day.
You too, buddy. Happy St. Patrick's Day. In fact, it's early here. I don't know what time we usually air this. I don't have a green beer. I've got a red beer.
Ayo. That's spicy. Usually we air this at 8 a.m. on a Thursday. So, I mean, the people that are drinking 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, they got done work. You know, they worked the night shift, or maybe they just are battling with some issues. I don't know why I laughed at that. But either way, I was doing some research. I've always heard this. I don't know if you ever did, but the true color of St. Patrick's used to actually be blue. And modernized is when it turned to green because of St. Patrick. He used to actually teach the youth or something, and one of his symbols was a shamrock, which is obviously green, and Ireland is mostly green. There's a little bit of green on the flag, all that stuff. So it, over time, started taking over as it went worldwide and as green. But if you look, St. Patrick himself wore blue cloaks. The Loyal Order of the Arms is blue, and the early Irish flag had blue on it as well.
I did not know any of that. That's interesting. You learn something new every time you pop in.
Hey, I'm starting to do that beard history thing.
Yep.
So I started doing that, and I was like, it's St. Patrick's Day. Let's do something for that. And that's what popped up, and it's been pretty fun. It kind of, you ever just kind of find a concept that you enjoy making content, but every once in a while it kind of like pumps you up again. Like you're excited about something. Like for me, it was just kind of monotonous. Like I love the shows that we do. This one, Triple T, all the other stuff that Yorktown podcast and stuff like that. I love doing that. But as far as like the beard law stuff, I never know what to do. And this stuff, I actually saw a video on, I forget what it was, something on YouTube, a deep dive. And they're like, if you want something to pop, you got to have a unique intro. So I was like, man, wouldn't that be cool if I could, you know, open my beard and have a video come through it. So I was chatting with Burley, and me and him figured out, we learned how to do masking with videos. I'm like, this is fun. We're nerds. And they said, just kind of combine a whole bunch of stuff that you enjoy, but shows that you do and clips that you do. And I found a couple of clips that, you know, the ones that they do the green screen, they pull the green screen up and then do the video. I'm like, I could start that off, but with the beard, and just talk about anything. And it doesn't even have to be about beards. And it's kind of rejuvenated me, you know?
Oh yeah. You know, you you brought up history, and I was just went into a rabbit hole today. I know you. This is kind of jumping into the Yorktown stuff you do. I'm huge into history. I'm huge into local history. There is a town about, golly, maybe a 25-30 minute drive from Euban. I'm not going to name the town, but there was a kid that went missing about 22-23 years ago. And it is a weird story. I'll have to share it with you.
Definitely.
I found it pop up on my Twitter feed. It was, I don't know what it was. It was something about a Twitter feed. It was a picture of the kid missing. And then, you know, what day he was missing and what town. And I was like, So I went into a deep rabbit hole on that and found out it's like really close to where Euban's at.
Wow. So, he must know about it, which is ironic because this week's episode, we're doing one on a missing child as well that happened near me. And actually the location where we had a basketball tournament last week in a town called Sable Fork, beautiful town. You ever just kind of drive into a town and you're just kind of like, this is like an opening scene or part of a scene for a horror movie where you kind of go from like a city and then like mountains, beautiful landscape. And then the houses start to decline a little bit more, a little bit more. Then there's just this beautiful, small, quaint, if you might, town that just has so much personality and stuff. And it was, it was 33 years ago. They started this basketball tournament in honor for missing children throughout the country, raised money because of something that terribly happened in that town with a missing child. So, yeah, we're going to release that this week. It's,
I'll have to watch that one because that sounds terribly interesting.
It is.
I will. I actually just Facebook messaged you the other one, so you can check.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do. We'll definitely do something there because we're trying to hit more and more states that started local where we are. But we're like, hey, let's branch out a little bit, and it's been a lot of fun. So shout out Meg for stepping up because Zach, you know, every time you have a new kid, life gets busy. You got to adapt and everything like that. And Tyson the other day from Copper John said something. He goes, you got three kids at the house, right? He goes, yeah, he's got like six or something like that. He goes, I don't care what you say, whether you have five, six, once you hit that three mark and you're officially outnumbered by kids, that's when life becomes crazy. Whether you have three, whether you have six, it's the same kind of crazy. And he goes, trust me, I know. And he started kind of talking like, as they get older, you still have the younger ones. And he goes, I feel for people. So Brandon, you're at two. I'm warning you. And Tyson's warning you. Three is when life just gets nuts. So
we'll make sure to swallow the rest.
Yeah. I was saw your video, speaking of kids and babies, that you did with making the bottles or whatever.
Yeah.
The other day, and I got into the comments, and I thought it would kind of be funny if you think of it, or a viewer or anybody finds just a comment or two that just make you laugh, send them over. I'd like to have like a weird little segment of just funny comments. But these comments were just so you made the video, so describe what you got going on in that video, and then I'm going to read some of the comments.
So basically, I mean, this video is like three years old. My daughter was born. My daughter's now 3 years old, and my wife had sent me to go make a bottle, and I was like, you know what? It would be funny. We've got this. Speaking of which, the devil just texted me. Let's see what she had to say. Okay, she just texted me the size of something so she can remember it. She's going to buy blinds at the store. You want to spend more of my hard-earned money.
Woo!
You know, oh, that boomer joke there. But she sent me to go make a milk formula bottle, a bottle of formula. And I said, what would be funny is if I went over there and instead of putting formula in there, I said, what if I put the powdered chocolate milk I've got? So I went and made a video, and it was all narrated. And I go, my wife sent me to make a bottle of formula for my baby. But it got me wondering, is it time for my baby to pop a chalky milk? And again, like most of my audience is younger folks. And so like Papa chalky milk is like a term of like drink chocolate milk. And so I take this spoon of formula and I'm like patting it down and I go, no. And I pick up the spoon or the scoop of chocolate milk and I go, is it time to put it in? And my face goes, and the narrator myself goes, no, it's not time yet. Or something like that. That was basically the video. And when I first aired it a couple of years ago, it did pretty well. And nothing seems to anymore, but who cares? But it's funny. It's still, I create videos that are funny. And if it still makes me laugh 3 years later, I'm going to share it again.
Why wouldn't you? But I mean, you got somebody that's like, I used to put a little Nesquik in my son's formula. Then it says, give her pure ketamine. Pop that chicky milk for yourself if they won't have it. Obviously, they meant chalky, but autocorrect chicky. It is time, Mufasa. You make the chokey milk. They meant chalky. And then it just says, it's time. The comments on the thing. But we were kind of talking backstage, and, you know, this kind of triggered my brain and TikTok. We were kind of talking how, you know, obviously some people have changed and so has TikTok. And I don't spend a ton of time on the app. I mean, if I'm posting some videos and I can eventually go down a rabbit hole, but it's kind of shifted, in my opinion, almost to what it was when it first started. I don't know if it's like irony or ironic or what the right word is. Maybe some foreshadowing of they're going to end it the way that it started in the U.S. because obviously everybody knows the controversy. It got passed by one House or Congress or something like that. And I'm like the worst with government shit. But now then it has to get passed, I believe, by the Senate. Then the president would have to sign off. If all of this happens, probably 5 to 6 more months, according to Toby. Toby did a video about it. And obviously I listened to it because I don't know about that stuff. He knows more. Whatever, if it gets shut down. But when it first started, it was just like more or less people begging for money. You know, like we're struggling as a family. Like I need to buy my daughter formula. I need cigarette money. I need beer money. Low income people that weren't working. Maybe they didn't have a way to work. I don't know. But they were always asking for money. And I'm searching the other day and I'm seeing, again, some low income people asking for money. And then I'm seeing big creators asking for money. Like, this is how I feed my family. We can't shut this down. We have to do something about it. And it's, you know what I mean? And I'm not trying to like make a joke about this, but it's just, to me, it's weird that when it went from Musical.ly to TikTok, it's almost exactly where it is, full circle, right here, what, 4 or 5 years later?
No, it's, I didn't start when it started. I came in during the pandemic, but yeah, it is the app I spend the least amount of time on now. I mean, yeah. I post twice a day and I probably spend less than 5 minutes on that app a day now. Yep. I used to spend hours, maybe 1 or 2 hours, scrolling videos, putting, commenting, checking out other friends. And I spend as little time as I can on that app. And in just seeing the stuff that they've done with like some of the, like the shops and things like that, it really is become a place where people just beg for money. And it's like, it's not a place for me. And the payouts are awful. So,
well. Yep. Yeah, I know. I'm putting together my taxes, which is adult stuff. And if you want to turn this off because nobody wants to listen about taxes, that's fine. But it was just funny getting this stuff from like TikTok, the little forms or Facebook or something like that. And you're like, man, that's how much I got for putting the amount of hours and time and week into it. And it's like, you know what? It's a good thing I do this shit for fun because my family, we're not going to be able to go on vacation because of it. And it, like I said, that's not why I do it, but it's a little bit, and it's probably going to put me up just enough in taxes that I'm going to get screwed.
Matt, I got to tell you, I thank you all the time, both publicly, privately, when I talk to my friends. Of you were really the person I looked to when I first, if I could say, hit it somewhat big to where I realized and recognized like what this needs to be for me and what it can be and what it needs to be. Because I've seen so many people, and we've talked about this a lot, but I've seen so many people who drop everything in their life, their job, relationships, connections with friends, everything else. I mean, ruining relationships with their children, and they become obsessed and just engrossed in content creation. And with the ebbing and the flowing, and it always does, as the guy told you about the guy who did the drone video dancing back 2 years ago and hit it big. He says, you never keep that high. It always goes down for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson didn't have Thriller every time he released an album. And Michael Jackson is one of the most, if not the most selling, he had no problems in life. People loved Michael Jackson. But what I'm getting at is not every album was Thriller.
Oh, he had some problems in life.
Right.
Not musically.
You have some ebbs and you have some flows. You have some peaks and you have some valleys. And you cannot count on that. That's why people have, and it's not great, hold a conversation, 9-to-5 jobs, because it's consistent.
Yep.
You can consistently count on $2,000 to $3,000 to $4,000 a month, $5,000, whatever it is that you're making for your family and yourself to consistently get. Matt, have you ever had a 3-month period, much less a 6 or an 8 or 9 or a 12 month period, where the money you were receiving from all the apps based on not just brand deals, but view money you get from views and ads was consistent?
No.
Yeah. No. I mean, ever. Shit. I mean, 1 month it may be up here, and next month's down here, or it's up here, then it's down here, then it's down here, then it's down here, then it's up, then it's up. It's never the same. So you never can't count on it. I've seen people like ruin their lives. I'm not going to name him because this is a public podcast, but there's a guy I follow who is much bigger than me, has a following much bigger than me, does a lot of dancing, is a funny guy, and I think you already know who I'm talking about. He had a breakup with somebody he was with, so he's no longer with his girlfriend. That really hurt him.
Yeah.
He had quit his job, and now what is he doing? Well, he moved across the country. He's found love again, so he's happier. But he has, when he posts these friends only videos, he's said and shown, like, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I don't have the creativity anymore. I'm now focused on work now that I have to go back into the job I didn't want to do, that I have to do now to make ends meet. And I don't know what to do with myself anymore. And I'm not happy. And so he's gained a lot of weight.
Yeah.
I'm a fat man, good, bad, or otherwise. He's not happy, he said himself. So that has played into that. You have to find your happiness outside of your phone and outside of this. You have to find it with your family and in your own home, or you're going to drive yourself nuts and you're going to ruin your fucking life.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing in, you know, even the peaks of when, you know, we were, you know, you were growing really. I remember sitting there watching online somewhere, watching the following count because the videos were popping. This was cool. You still even scheduled the things that you were doing, whether you were live on this platform or here. And it was always like, the kid's asleep, the wife's asleep, I don't have to work till then. You know what I mean? Like, it was always one thing. You always did a good job, family first, no matter what, and let's build the brand second. You know what I mean? And it's always been a thing. Like, this has been fun for us. This is what we do for the side note. If it was to ever pop big enough, you know what I mean? Where then it would still like require moving and all this stuff. And it's like, you know what? We're not thinking about it. This is just fun. Like, at the end of the day, who really wants to listen to a guy from New York and Brandon J. McDermott, who has a golden voice? You should listen to him on all of his day job stuff. But like, talk about whatever we're talking about. Like, in my brain, it's like, nobody really wants to. Like, my parents don't even listen to this because they don't want to know what we're talking about. But at the end of the day, like, it's fun. It's good to have, you know, dudes just sitting around because I'm not going to the bar as much. You know what I mean? And that's where I talk to a lot of my buddies. And it's not like these days you just pick up a phone and call your bro and be like, so what you doing?
I can honestly say, Matt, I have never, ever looked at this video on YouTube and said, what are the views doing? How are these doing? Are they growing? Are they getting better? Are they? I don't give two shits.
Yep.
I mean, respectfully, like, we should be putting stuff out that makes people want to watch, but we should be having a conversation that makes us happy to hang out. And I honestly, I mean, and taking a big step back and talking about this, this is just me getting to hang out with you for an hour a week.
Exactly. Same. That's kind of how I view it. You know, me, you, Ben, whoever, we just get to shoot the shit with the boys, and that's why it's more fun and it's not a lot of work. You know what I mean? We find some stuff we talk about, and that's what's fun about it. Like you said, I've never once even looked at my own analytics with the show, and people are like, oh my God, you got this platform, why aren't you pushing? I was like, I don't care. This is fun for me. You know what I mean? Like, we used to go live every Thursday at 9 o'clock at my time. And I'm like, I got to the point, I just couldn't do it with family. And you know what I mean? And circled them back, like, family's way more important. And, you know, we love everybody that does listen, but at the end of the day, this is going to be fun and we'll see what happens. But it's been a good time. It's been a good run. And yeah, I'm very thankful You know, for the people that we've met, the brand that's built and the opportunities, it's been cool. Who would have known growing a beard, get to meet people all over the country. And honestly, I've always kind of wanted to do radio or podcasting. So it's my excuse. Like, yeah, I'm a podcaster.
It's the same for me with the book, man. Like I can go through on the back end and see exactly how many sales I've had and how many books have sold.
Yep.
I haven't looked at that for more than 18 months because I don't give a shit. I mean, I have it at such a low price because I'm not trying to make money off of it. I don't give a shit. I want the story to be told. When I go and I speak at different groups and I'm bringing 30 and 40 books and I'm giving them away for free because I don't really want to sell them. And they're like, why aren't you selling these? You can make so much money. You're not valuing yourself. Oh, I am valuing myself. And what I'm making out of this has nothing to do with padding my fucking wallet. I didn't write this story to become rich. I wrote this story to help people and to heal myself. And I've done at least 50% of that.
Heck so yeah.
It's not at all about any of that shit. And maybe in the end I will die poor and destitute, but I can promise you, I will not look back at my life and say I shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Yeah. You know, we're all going to end up there, as morbid as it sounds, whether you're rich or broke, you still end up the same. You might as well enjoy it a little bit. And yeah. And that's been one thing. I mean, I've seen a bunch of people that have written books and it's just, buy this, kind of on the TikTok, the YouTube, whatever other platforms, you know what I mean? It's push this, you know, and it's every once in a while I'll throw out a post, you know what I mean, with the book that I have, only just to remind people, hey, if I get a sale from it, cool. If I don't, to be honest, I do all mine through Amazon. I haven't checked the Amazon thing. Maybe I get a couple bucks here or there from a sale, but it's like, they're going to take most of it anyways. I just wanted to kind of leave a legacy for the kids. And to be honest, I donated a couple of copies to all the different schools in the areas just to have something a little bit different. And one day the kids can look back and just be like, huh, can't believe Dad actually wrote a kid's book about me. That's weird, but that's pretty cool. That was him.
And there's no greater feeling, man, than when I meet somebody in public and I do radio hosting. I host a radio show. So, you know, some people hear about me and I give away these books and I hear from somebody months later, oh my God, I read your story. I don't know who you are. And find out they're a part of the city council or something like that. Like, people are spreading the story. They read the story. It touches them. It means something to them. And they connect it with somebody who else. I've made so many friends based on my story has been shared to them from somebody I gave the book to.
Yeah.
Like, how meaningful is that? You know, it's so much more meaningful than, ooh, I made $5 on a book. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Yep. $5. Can't even afford a Subway $5 footlong anymore because they're not there. But
if we can create that time traveling machine, we can get there.
Yeah, I saw something the other day. It was a post about, I want to say it was like pizza in New York and like through the decades. And it was like 12 cents, 30 cents for one slice, then this and this. And now today it's like average is like $3.50 for a slice or something like that. And I'm like, God damn, those Ninja Turtles had it so much better back in the day. And I'm super jealous of all the staff at Pizza Hut that still get to rock their Ninja Turtle shirts. And I don't know about your area, but I've offered to buy those shirts and they said that they cannot sell the exclusive Pizza Hut Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle shirt. So I am going to hit up eBay the next time I remember and try to score something cool like that for the studio. But know what else? I had a conversation with the wife the other day and I guess we can bring it up here. It was waterbeds. Remember how big waterbeds used to be? Were they big in your area?
I remember my father had one and I was like, why do we have this? But I mean,
so everybody, it seemed like when I was growing up.
You mean how many people? I thought you meant like how large they were.
No, like popularity.
In the late 80s, early 90s, everybody fucking had one of those.
Everybody. And you know, being a kid that was born in the 80s, grew up in the 90s, just like you, you didn't really know as a kid, like what really went into having a waterbed, and you had to change the water at least every year. You know, if you wanted it cold, you put cold water, and if you needed it hot, you put the hot. Sometimes they had heaters. If it popped, then it ruins the room and stuff like that. And I got thinking, I was like, man, why did they go away? Are they still a thing? And you see a lot of people, at least in my brain, in my life, from family members to their friends and stuff that had the waterbeds. They have terrible backs and joint. Like, was it because of the waterbed or was it the fact that they grew up having to work on farms, sitting in terrible, like non-ergonomic chairs? You know, if you had a desk job back then, you were sitting in a shitty, shitty chair. I don't know if it's there, but like, so I started doing some research and they say of course, it's the water brand companies and what I found in Google and stuff, that they're actually one of the most comfortable sleeps for you and actually really good for you because your spine isn't restricted or something because of the motion and all this. And they still make them. They have new age water beds with like this new technology and all this stuff. And I'm like, God damn, I couldn't do it. There's no way I'm rocking a waterbed.
No way. I'm looking
up. Unless a company, no, I'm just kidding. Unless a company hits us up and you're a waterbed company and you want us to try it. No, I'm just kidding. There's no way I would want, it's just like, I wouldn't want a washer dryer machine on, cause my room is on the second floor. Could you imagine if a waterbed popped on the second floor? Not only are you ruining your floor, you're ruining the ceiling and all your braces and shit.
My brother in Christ, my dad had a waterbed. We lived in a trailer.
Oh,
we lived in a fucking trailer. My dad had a waterbed, bro. Oh, peak poor.
I feel like I feel like waterbeds and trailers went together in the 70s and 80s, like peanut butter and jelly, though.
Here's what I want to know. How the hell do you make whoopee on a waterbed? Hey, how are you getting any kind of like pushback with your knees? You know what I mean? You got to stand off the bed to get it done.
I would think so. But it could be kind of like the, what are all the Mormon kids calling out? Have you heard of soaking?
Oh my God.
Where yes. they just leap, they put it in there and I guess it doesn't, it's a loophole, doesn't really count. But then they have a third person come in and like shake the bed and jump on the bed, causing the friction to happen, but they're not thrusting. So it doesn't count. We talked a little bit about it on Triple T last week because we have Dan on there who used to be a youth pastor and all this stuff. And it's big out in the Utah area, which he's not there, but it's an interesting thing, this whole, soaking, but maybe that came from the Mormons with the waterbeds.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I could do soaking, Fram. Cause
no.
So you go in there fully awake, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
Do you make sure you come out when you're asleep?
I guess so. But you just can't move. It just hangs out in there.
So you can't thrust. Wait until it like blops out.
Either blops out or you go out, or I haven't personally looked in. We talked about it a little bit. None of us were willing to Google it. But yeah, apparently that's the thing. I guess it's all over TikTok. It's all over everywhere. It's this magical loophole that these people are exploiting. I guess good for them being creative and everything. I'm glad I'm not on that side of TikTok.
Uh-huh.
Maybe one of the 10 accounts that I have is on that side, but I just don't spend enough time. But yeah, that was a weird loophole with the waterbeds. But when we were finding there, apparently they're just like everything cycles. Apparently they're starting to make a comeback. It's kind of why I started to see some stuff. And when I Googled it, it led me to a YouTube short of this guy who definitely had a waterbed in the 70s and 80s, still has these new ones. Like I wonder now, like I'm going to start when I'm in public, I'm going to be looking at people and be like, yep, you are a waterbed guy. Oh, that guy's a waterbed guy. That person, no, not so much. But I feel like they give off a vibe, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But yeah.
I remember a fight my mom and dad had where my mom chased my dad down with a butcher knife, and I was just, even at 5 years old, thought to myself, that waterbed's going to go bye-bye. Them into the bedroom. Luckily, it didn't, but yeah.
I remember we were selling a house where we lived previously, and my parents had a waterbed, and it ripped or broke or something and destroyed the flooring just as we were trying to sell it. And at the time, my dad was working in a different state. So it was Ma and us young kids trying to clean it and some neighbors coming over. And I just remember that being a disaster. Now you know what I mean? Now, if I was one of those YouTubers or content creators that made a ton of money and still had my day job and I had enough money to pull a prank off, when my parents went away, they go on a trip, they're coming home to a brand new waterbed. I just imagine them recording their faces. They walk in, go to lay down and be like, God damn it, what is this? I think it'd be hilarious. Maybe not, though.
You couldn't see my big ass on a waterbed. You ever try to be on a waterbed with another person, just like laying there?
Ooh.
The heavier person goes to
like a teeter totter. I remember, you know, like when you're a kid and you just like get thrown onto a bed, whether it's at a hotel or something, I'll never just that feeling where you're just playing, you know, and your, you know, parent or somebody will just pick you up and throw you on the mattress and then you land on a waterbed and it's just like, kind of like when, if you're tubing on the water and you just hit water, it's supposed to be soft and it friggin' hurts.
I remember being a kid and I'd take naps in my dad's waterbed with him. And I always got in trouble because I moved too much. Well, fuck, if you're in a waterbed, they're going to feel everything.
Yeah. Apparently now they make waveless waterbeds. So it's not supposed to, or whatever. I don't know. Waterbedbargains.com, the number one waterbed store.
Number one waterbed store. The only one that served the .com bubble.
The only one. Man. There's a lot of, it's interesting. 6-inch water depth, super soft, variable pressure, foam. So they actually have water beds with pillow tops on them. Nice. It's came a long ways. Look at this shit. Waterbed Doctor 700 RX Plus Extremium. Let's show this. There's a lot going into this mattress. Holy shit. Look at the layers. There's more layers than a 7-layer cake. Look at all these different layers of mattress.
Where's the water?
It's got to be in there somewhere. I don't know if it's the blue part. Maybe this little blue pad. That's the foot of the bed, in case you were wondering. Free shipping, free delivery. Waterbed Doctor, 700 RX plus extra premium waterbed mattress.
Just take Matt. What would your significant other do if you all of a sudden she came home and there was a waterbed in the bedroom?
She'd probably just look at me and be like, well, okay. She wouldn't, man. She'd try it out. And if it didn't work out, we'd return it.
My wife would not. She would not be happy. She would be
probably happy. Wouldn't be super happy because we did just buy a pretty new mattress and we bought one of those ones that like it lifts the head and the feet like the bed frame does just for better, you know, sleep like that. Because with, you know, as you get older, you get the reflux, you get sore muscles, you get this and that and snoring, pop it up. It's improved the sleep. I'm telling you, sleep technology has came a long ways. Can you imagine, like, that's what you do?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
For a living, you're a sleep technologist.
It's like being an ice cream technologist.
Ooh, that'd be cool. They used to, the wife's family used to own an ice cream truck. So when she was growing up, most of her summers were spent going to fairs and places slinging ice cream. She would always tell me how scary it was because it's, you know, her, a teenage girl, and usually her father are there, trying to leave these places with a whole bunch of drunken idiots late at night. They got a pretty good amount of cash on them. And you know what I mean? But thankfully it was a little more peaceful maybe back then. But I mean, everything was cash back then. And you're walking out with a big old bag of cash if you had a good day through a whole bunch of drunken idiots. Good times. Glad I mean, there's got to be money in ice cream trucks. Somebody local to me just opened a lemonade truck and they make their own syrups and everything, and they had like a little shop or I can't remember exactly how you bought them. I just remember she came home with them a couple of times And it's freaking fantastic. And now they made this like nice little trailer or truck, and they're going to start going to, I'm like, good for them. I love seeing a new little business like that pop up, you know?
I saw a stat the other day that, like, can't remember what it was. 30 or 40% of businesses fail within the first year.
Ooh, that's a lot.
And the number goes up. The first 5 years, it's 50%. It's 60% after 10 years. After 15 years, it's 80% of businesses fail. So it's like, it's nuts, like how like much it takes. And businesses fail can mean, hey, we just closed down the business. You know, you failed. So like, it doesn't, I don't know. You can be successful for 15, 14 years. And then on the 15th year, you're just like, this isn't working for us. And that would be jumped into and pounded, put into the amount that fails. So my point with that is just that I try to support local businesses as much as I can, because it is not easy.
Not at all. Depending is what it is too, because I mean, if you sell anything that a Walmart or a major store can sell, you know damn right they're going to start selling it in that store. Somebody that I knew a little while ago, well, this was a long time ago at this point, there's one kind of highway near us that's a state highway that is super busy. You got to take this to pretty much get to all the other small towns, to the next big towns, and even a way to get to Canada that the Canadians come in on. And there was a lot of land for sale, and they wanted to open a gas station. And it would have killed it in this spot. But as soon as they started doing the paperwork and stuff, people at Walmart found out, and they said, if you do this, we will put gas at our Walmart and sell it cheaper than you. So you might as well not. And I'm like, you motherfuckers, Walmart. And they did. They got into the thing. The people, they just were like, nah, we're done.
Oh, it's wild.
It is.
It is a wild, wild world out there.
You know, oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, because I was going to change the subject.
Oh, I was just thinking, you know, it's with the small business and stuff. There was two or three malls near me. And now there's one that was like 30, 40 minutes away. There's nothing left in that mall. And then the bigger one, which is about an hour and a half away near a military base, all this stuff, like a much bigger area. We went there not too long ago around Christmas time just to, you know, again, try to support somewhat local, because typically we just go to thrift stores and, you know, that's beautiful, supporting local that usually have a cause behind it. Like the one that we go to typically supports an animal shelter and stuff like that. They had, I think, two places left in the friggin' food court. And there's just nothing in this. And this is an area that can support a pretty good mall. Then you drive another hour and it's Destiny USA in Syracuse, which was at one point one of the largest malls in the entire country. But it's like, God damn. Plus, that kind of scares me a little bit. There's a decent amount of shootings that happen at that mall. So I try not to go there too much.
Yeah, a whole other conversation, but malls were definitely a 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and, you know, dying out in the 90s and early 2000s phenomena that with Amazon changed things, you know, with online shipping, it changed things.
Online shipping, cheap prices.
You know, what's funny is I don't know what the problem is, but the pandemic really changed it. And you believe that it's been fucking 4 years, but Amazon hasn't gotten their shit right. You used to be able to order from Amazon and it would get with you to 2 days. It's taken a week still. So like, what is going on with the, and I don't know much about it, but like with the, what do they call it? In the process, something is fucked up. What link is not connecting?
It is terrible. And it's what I've noticed too. Like even the post office trying to get stuff to me, you know, when I get stuff from Copper John's specifically is where it's there. Like he'll mail out, you know, every month, cent of the month or something like that. When he mails it to me and a couple of other people that are creating some content and stuff for him, everybody else will get it in like 2 days. And I know I'm up there. It'll take almost 2 weeks. And he's like, how did you not get this? I'm like, I don't know, man. And it used to be, and it's no knock to, he's not doing anything wrong. He's putting it in the mail and he's like, see you later. But I have noticed around here, and I don't know if it is the same with you, that it seems like everything that was Amazon used to be UPS. And I don't know if they've negotiated anything. Maybe it's just my area. Maybe it's everywhere. But now Amazon is coming through the post office.
Yep.
And I know that's slowing some stuff up for them, especially where we are and smaller and stuff. But yeah, everything's going. I haven't seen a UPS truck in my area in months.
I don't know what has contributed to it. Because, I mean, 5 to 7 days is not two-day shipping like it was.
Which Do they still advertise Amazon Prime as two-day shipping? Or is it just you have Prime so you get access to photos and music and videos and all that?
I honestly don't know. But I mean, because most of the stuff I purchase on Amazon anyways from a third party, it's no longer from Amazon.
Yeah.
Why the fuck am I paying for Amazon Prime? You know what I mean? Get rid of that shit quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember when that was a deal.
Yeah, I know. I'm just looking, and I don't think that going to Reddit Ask might be the best thing, but I'm here. And it says, what is up with Amazon taking days to ship an order? Amazon used to be fast now. I'll place an order on a Tuesday, and it won't ship until Friday, and it won't be here until the following Wednesday. What the hell happened? That's kind of what I've noticed this, too. I don't use Prime Video and all that stuff. Why am I even paying for Prime? As long as your cart's over $35, you still get free shipping. I canceled, saved me some money. And I'm not as impulse by dropping it. Well, that's, I think, what we just talked about. They promised two-day shipping. That's false advertising. Have you tried to do something about it? Nope. Fair enough. Amazon's also crushing the postal service. So I'm wondering if maybe that's something that somebody stepped in and said, hey, you gotta support them, which, hey, I'm all about that. Post office is a pretty big part of what we have going on in the world. I'm just kind of filtering through there and this person says, it could be because of all the third party stuff. Kind of like Brandon was just saying, maybe they're out of stock or they're a smaller company, so it takes them longer to fulfill the order. And then there's the disconnect, you know, the technology for the handoff from order here to get it here.
Always Amazon sucks in 2024. This is on Reddit.
Yeah.
Prime prices have increased. Originally costs $80 a year, now costs $140 plus $36 to remove ads. That's 100% price increase over a decade. Amazon, and this is what this person's saying. I'm not agreeing with.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazon intentionally cripples other websites' search sort functionality to keep customers shopping on site. You can't really find true names of brands on Amazon anymore, and when you do, you run the risk of purchasing a counterfeit product. Amazon is currently running A/B tests with their return policy. In some tests, they're charging customers for returns, and in others, they're forcing customers to return to specific non-UPS locations. I predict it's only a matter of time before we lose the free return privilege on most items.
Ooh.
The review system is designed to scam customers and benefit scamming third-party sellers. Did you get a fake product and you want to call out a seller about your review? Nope, that violates Amazon's review policy. Read, it negatively impacts their sales. This, in my opinion, is why we see so many counterfeit products with 4.8-star reviews. Amazon is suppressing the negative views.
Yeah, so Amazon does it, but there's also companies out there that I've heard of that will actually, that you can pay to have negative reviews removed. I don't know how true it is, but I've heard of some companies that that use it. And obviously you can pay for reviews. There's tons of companies out that are like, hey, I'll give you X amount if you want to go leave a review, or hey, here's 10% or 30% off your next order, which that's not illegal. But
check this out. They are my new eBay. I only go there for niche items or cheap, easy things. I won't really care if it becomes a shit show with bad customer service. And somebody responds, I just search Amazon to see what's out there. Then most of the time go directly to the factory website. That's the only way to avoid fakes. I keep the account for reading, cheap, unlimited reading for now.
Wow. This person on Reddit also says, I used to work at an Amazon fulfillment center, saw a ton of packages that just fall off the rail and they're just ignored. And then by the time we get to them, we throw them in a crate and then they end up in a discount somewhere. It's like, huh.
I just did a review and it turns out I saved 16 whole dollars by using Amazon Prime last year. It's just not worth it anymore. The last straw for me was adding commercials to Prime Video and then offering the privilege of paying $36 more a year to not have commercials. F that.
No, it's wild.
What's up?
Chewy. You have pets. I don't know if you've ever used it.
Yeah.
I use Chewy And I don't know if because there's a warehouse near there or whatever. If I put an order in, I almost have it every time the next day. Really? Almost every single time. Like the other day, because we have so many goddamn dogs and cats and the litter and all this stuff. So I just have a auto thing built that just sends, hey, every month. But I had to change something the other day because the cats or something ran out of food. So I switched it. I was like, hey, I want you to just send it this day instead. Skip a cycle or whatever. I changed it at like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. I had it the next day by noon. I was like, holy shit. So now I'm like, I found myself going to Chewy just seeing if they got random shit. Like, hey, you got any Kool-Aid on there? Like, you got other stuff? Because holy, this shipping is unbelievable. You pay for the shipping, which, you know what? If I need something, I don't mind paying an extra $5 if I get it tomorrow, you know? And to be honest, because the wife was giving me shit the other day because I was like, I'll just order on Chewy or whatever. She's like, you could just run and grab it from, you know, a couple of stores in there. I'm like, yeah, but here's the thing. They're going to charge me $5 to ship it. If I go to Walmart, I go to the Dollar General or something like that, I'm going to spend more than that $5 in shipping buying other stuff I really don't need. So by paying it and having it shipped here for that extra $5 probably saves me $45-$50. Because I'm such an impulse buyer. I can't go into a store and just buy the stuff that I need. I'm like, ooh, ooh. Wow. Those fuckers place things strategically when I walk by and it's like, ooh, mozzarella sticks. And you got buy three frozen pizzas for $11. Can't let that go.
Right. Check this out. Not to keep the shit show going, but you can't make digital purchases anymore with Amazon gift cards. So you can't go buy Kindle books or watch a Prime show with a Kindle.
No shit.
With a gift card. Yeah.
Huh.
That's wild.
I didn't know that. Although I guess I haven't received an Amazon gift card in about 10 years. So interesting.
I honestly think it's an issue of using the pandemic as a reason to take a big step back from probably what was costing lots of money. And this is a really, I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't have any proof of that.
Yeah.
And so the whole 2-day shipping thing, how that's changed, how that's not helped at all. And yeah, I honestly think that's a big.
And they're probably a lot of companies are doing more with less. They probably laid off or had a whole bunch of people quit and they just said, hey, we're still doing okay. Actually, we're doing better. Sorry if it's going to affect the customers a little bit, but it's not drastic. And we'll just continually work with less people and save on payroll. I'd have to imagine being Amazon. They probably got so much cool shit in their warehouse with, you know what I mean? Automated, like, I would have to imagine in my brain, like stuff going on conveyor belts, going to locations instead of, you know, manual getting scanning. I have to imagine there's a lot of, you know, technology being used in a company like that. But again, never worked there. Nor is there one anywhere near me. Like people are like, oh yeah, I had the Amazon truck or the Amazon driver the other day. I'm like, I never seen one of those vans.
Yeah, not anymore. You used to see them all the time.
No shit. I've never, I mean, just where I live, it's always been UPS and now obviously the post office, but small town living.
Times, they are a-changing.
They are. Look at us. We're adapting. We're overcoming. Not to go back to the mall thing, but it just triggered my brain. There's an account, and I wish I should have spent the time to look it up, but this person just travels all over the country and goes to abandoned malls. And if you ever are bored and want to go down a rabbit hole, because it's one of those things, and I don't know what draws it, but you're like, I wonder if this mall is on here, because you've been to it. You can relate to it. Like, it's brilliant. And I just always wonder, like, he must have to go through, I would have to imagine, kind of a pain in the ass to get permission to walk through these abandoned malls from people and then be able to blast that he's doing this. But it's creepy, some of these stores. I mean, food courts that still have, like, containers and stuff like that. It's...
There's quite a few people on YouTube that do that.
Oh,
I don't know about the biggest ones, like how many there are, but I know that I know of at least three. And the reason I know that is because my wife and I watch those videos.
Gotcha.
And there's people that go to old abandoned asylums, which are
I've seen some of those,
which are nuts. Old abandoned theme parks, malls are a big one. Mansions, abandoned mansions, which are really cool to look through.
That would be. Yeah, that'd be a cool thing, not only to see, but to be able to dive into, like, some shit.
There is a old magazine. and I want
a magazine. What's a magazine, Brandon?
I know. There's an old magazine, and I'm trying to find one here that I can kind of share with you. That was called Found, and basically all it was. Have you ever heard of it?
Found. No, let me look. I'm going to look up while you're doing that, just the cover and stuff.
Yeah. So it was basically. Oh my God. So here, check this out. I'm going to share my screen.
Found magazine. I don't recall it. No.
Where is it at? Here we go.
Which isn't a shocker because I haven't, I'm not the best at the reading things.
So can you see my screen?
Yeah.
Okay. So basically what it was old notes, articles, pictures, anything that people found, they mailed it in. And this magazine was published, and it would just be all old, and it was just a nostalgia thing. And it was like looking into the past from somebody you had no idea of. And
no
this
shit.
Is a great example, this next one. It's a ripped up note, and if you read part of it, you can see part of it, but the end just says, marry me, come back.
Whoa.
Like, so like, you're seeing like these old pictures of people from Halloween in the 1970s or early 80s.
And you said these are all stuff that people are sending in that they found?
Yes.
A
letter to the editor from 1950. There's other ones that are, do not spend anything on money other than clothing for winter and Halloween, grocery items. Sir. I mean, like to-do items, the not to-do list, the, you know, there's just so many different of these. Do not eat at Oasis or any shit food place. Like,
do not start another. What's that say? Something at work.
What's it say?
Do not fret over Wendy or
another tab at work. Do not fret over Wendy or any case of being alone.
Do not borrow money from mom.
Yeah. So like, it's just really kind of cool how Melinda loves unripe pears, has trouble peeing, runs a kissing booth. And so like, it was a great magazine, Matt, to read, and it was like a huge magazine, like a really thick one that you could read when you're shitting. And so you're
that
on the
is
toilet,
a great, yeah.
When you're on the toilet and you're just reading all these notes that somebody sent, it kind of like, it gives you this empty feeling of nostalgia because like you'll never know more about this story than this little piece of paper you have.
But man, it gets your brain going.
It really does. It's so cool.
What a cool concept. We need a cool concept like that.
Mushrooms, work at UPS, do not have work. I'm on mushrooms, nothing else. I'll be sober again. Go with the flow. Well, somebody was clearly, you know, doing something.
And is this still a thing? Like, I see, obviously, you're on their Instagram, it looks like.
I'm on their Facebook, yeah.
Or Facebook, okay. Is that, are they still, like, these are from 2019. Are they done? Did the pandemic get them?
I don't know. This was a thing. I bought one of their magazines from, like a thrift store many years ago. And I don't know how many they published. I know there's a website. Let me.
It said they were founded in 2001 by Davey and Jason.
Go to foundmagazine.com and you can buy. There's an After Dark version too, which is pictures of stuff. But so yes, they have copies of these. They're like $14 to $20, $25 each.
In 2005, the Atlantic Theater Company, which is in New York, created Found, a musical, a play based entirely on pieces published in the magazine Found.
How cool is that? So, I mean, this was like, when I saw this, I was like, this is amazing. I mean, I probably found this magazine about 15 years ago. And like, I never bought another version, but like, it comes to me every now and then when I'm thinking about.
Interesting. Man, we have to. We need to come up with an idea like this. Let's come up with something cool.
The another cool thing is one of the things they sell is they sell a CD where somebody literally listed a mixtape,
mm-hmm.
and the mixtape was called the Booty Don't Stop mixtape, and it was just a bunch of songs like with booty in it.
According to the generative AI experiment in Google, Found Magazine is still in business and publishes new issues and books almost annually. Found Magazine is published by Quack! The media and is managed by Sarah Locke. So obviously it collects items people find, love letters, birthday cards, photos, to-do list. has an Instagram feed that contains the magazine's archives. Found magazine also has a book collection of the first four issues in a series of Dirty Found that applies the same concept to adult explicit material. Could you imagine the amount of weird pictures that people have sent in?
Oh, yeah.
Oof. Brian's like, I can imagine that.
Reward. I left 5 Slayer shirts and 1 Danzig shirt and 1 cargo pants and a washer and dryer. All items are black. Slayer shirt was scuffed, and it just lists all the items.
Wow.
It's just silly. I mean, dear Karen, I'm sorry I laughed that your favorite movie is Free Willy. Love it.
Wow.
It's just dumb.
What a brilliant concept, though. And it was 2001. It was just before the internet was really ramping up. You know what I mean? And they were able to still capitalize on magazines. And, man, brilliant. Shout out Foul Magazine. All right, let's try to get the owners on an episode sometime. They'd probably come on and chat with us. Give us some real shit.
Anyway, as usual, I hijack the show with something silly. But
no, that's what it's about. Just finding random shit. I mean, I don't really have anything to talk about. It was just, man, now I'm going to go down a loophole probably of Found Magazine.
You can buy a couple copies for like $5 each, it looks like, but yes.
And, I mean, it would look good in my book collection, and it could go in there with a whole bunch of books that I continually not read because it is what it is. So you did have a cool little trip. I don't know if you want to recap anything that you haven't put on social media, you know what I mean, that you want to talk about. I know I've seen a couple of videos, and we've talked about it. Pretty cool thing. Definitely an honor, you know what I mean, in my opinion, that you were able to go and do what you did.
Oh, of course. I spoke at Crossroads of Crawford County in Iowa for their, I was a keynote speaker. And
I don't mean to interrupt you, but that is a tongue twister right there. Crossroads at Crawford County. Is that what it was?
Crossroads of Crawford County. But yeah.
Whew.
Well, you get used to it. Yeah. It's like there's a lot of consolidation schools over there because there's a lot of small towns.
Yep.
And it's just, we call them the alphabet soup. There's like MVAOCOU.
Like MVA schools that are too small, so they start to form together, and you MV have the town.
MV Maple Valley. O is like, you know, I don't know, like Oak Cherry or something. I don't know. There's just a bunch. And then you just add like the 6 towns, and they become one consolidated school.
It's kind of smart.
COU, yeah. But you get used to that with the local stuff.
Have you seen the thing say all of the vowels in Celine Dion's name?
No.
Have you seen that yet? No. Oh, it's pretty. Here, I'll have you do it. Here, I'll bring this up real quick and just say the vowels in her name.
E-I-E-I. Oh, my God.
There's all these old McDonald's jokes and stuff from it. The internet's cool sometimes.
So it can be, yes. And that was probably somebody's high thought. That was like you've been sitting there like at 3
mushrooms. They just went with the flow.
I got asked to be this keynote speaker. So I drove out there, and the cool thing was I reached out to 2 content creators, you and my good buddy Noah, who is, he's a content creator. That's all I can remember. His name.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Doesn't have an arc.
612 Life or something, like 614 Life, I think his name is. But he does all of those like cover the cake and cheese videos, or he puts the potato in the blue dye and rolls it through the thing and the Takis come out. He started that like whole shit.
No shit. Good for him.
You remember the cut it open and see what's inside? He turned that into like cutting steak open and seeing if it's raw or if it's cooked or if it's cake or if it's steak. Like he was smart. So brilliant with that, just pissing people off for views. And it's just such a great niche because people will watch it to the end because fuck this.
Yeah.
But
and comment because everybody has to get their anger out.
Oh yeah. And he gets a lot of anger and he deals with it so great. Like it's so great. So anyway,
tell him to start sending in his angriest, funniest comments and we'll start featuring them.
They're on Facebook, dude. Like I'm telling you, man, the people on Facebook, the old people are the biggest assholes. dudes who are 25 to 45 and women who are 35 to 55 are the meanest people I've ever seen when it comes to commenting online.
Yeah.
These kids on TikTok, they don't hold a candle to their parents. The kids on Instagram don't hold a candle to it.
That's some of our generation's a little bit older. We grew up being able to talk smack, get in fist fights in school. You know what I mean? Start to get into video games and talk shit to each other. Those were the days, man.
They were. So I reached out to you guys and asked for some of, they had a silent auction and you guys sent a lot of stuff. So I appreciate to shout out to Matt Beardlaws and to Copper John's Beard Company for sending stuff. Also to Noah out of Columbus, who sent a bunch of items. And we put them up for auction and made hundreds of dollars for the local event. Speech was great. Speech went great. Standing ovation. Some people were crying. Got a lot of signed books at the end.
Good. I know you worked really hard too. I mean, we talked about offline, you know, the detail and, you know, the effort that you did put into the speech, you know what I mean? On top of everything, you know what I mean? Like, and I saw the picture of you, you know, everybody standing in that picture. I'm like, man, what a moment. Like, that's looking back someday.
That was the beginning of it too. Like 5 or 10 seconds later, everybody was standing, but no, it was kind of cool.
No, it's awesome, dude. It, like kind of, we talked about, you're going to look back at it one day and that memory and be like, that was cool. And the kids are going to be like, my dad did that. How cool.
I'll tell you this. I'm on the radio all the time and I've given speeches in front of groups of people before and I've gotten standing ovations. I have never in my life felt like I had the crowd in the palm of my hand before that event. Like I felt like they were hanging on my every word and it takes so much practice.
And it's different because it's your story that you're telling, not like a radio thing that you're promoting or, you know what I mean? Like, this is Brandon J. McDermott. This isn't, you know, X, a bunch of letters and numbers, radio station. This is you. This is your life, man. Like, it's powerful.
So it was cool. But also we went to, I got reached out to by a guy who was about 30 minutes away from the town I was going to speak in. And he wanted me to come, whole unrelated thing, wanted me to come to his barbecue restaurant and film him. And I said, well, I'm going to that town in March. It's like 4 hours away from where I live now. I said, well, I'm going to this town in March, about 25, 30 minutes from you. I can stop by the day before. Will that work? And it just ended up working because on a Monday, his business is closed and it was Monday I was going to be there. So it worked out perfectly. But it was a lot of fun. A lot of traveling, but I got away from work for a little bit, but.
Yep. And they say, you know, the travel and stuff like that, exhaustion's temporary. You know what I mean? Making the memories, being able to, you know, go try different food. Like, that's a big thing. When I go somewhere, I don't want to go to, and this is no knock to them. I'm not going to say a name, but like a big restaurant that you can get in almost any town or city. Like, I always try to find that, like, hole in the wall, the dive, but you know, like me, for dive bars and like little diners and places that you can't get anywhere else, and find something on the menu that you're like, holy shit, never had that before. Let's give that a shot.
Yeah.
Which, because you were telling me a couple of the items that you tasted at that barbecue place, and I'm like, oh boy, oh shit, I never heard of that. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, he had a brisket French dip, pulled pork grilled cheese melt.
I mean, brisket, fantastic. And I love it even more because you can't really buy brisket where I'm at. Like, if you do, it's fucking expensive. And then you got guys like Burley in Texas are like, really? I can just look at it. And he'll send a picture of like a whole section of brisket. I'm like, yeah, well, I'm Canada, bud, not Texas.
Yeah.
But
A lot different.
But no, man, that's cool. Like I said, awesome opportunity and everything like that. And no, just a cool thing. Make sure you guys go check him out. BrandonJMcDermott.com. Buy his book if you want. You don't have to. You still do sign stuff too? If they want?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You know how it goes. The merch is so secondary. I don't even care anymore. It's literally there if you want it. But if you don't buy anything, I don't push it. Never have. Never will.
Yep. It's all for fun. Like I said, and you know, at the end of the day, you get a cool little poster. That's awesome.
My daughter's always like, why is the hamburger in jail?
Is it food jail, honey? Because food it's a jail. Bad hamburger. And look, there's like toxic green sludge around him on the ground. Like,
what a bad, hey, when you're a bad burger, you end up in the food jail. But we hit our time, my guy. And of course, we hit our time. And right at the end, we had our first guest call in. But unfortunately, we don't have the time to take special guests. So, but either way. Brandon, can't thank you enough. Euban, hopefully you feel better. And again, hopefully you have a good rest of your St. Paddy's Day. And everybody that's here, hopefully you have recovered from your St. Patrick's Day, St. Paddy's Day, however you spell it. We're not trying to, you know, get all the hate in the comments for the way we say it or spell it. But if you hate us, that's okay. But either way, nothing but love for you, Brandon, and everybody that's watching this. Appreciate everybody. We'll be back next week. We'll do the same thing, but with hopefully all three of us, because it's been busy. But that's all I got. You got anything else?
I got nothing. We'll see you next week, guys.
Keep your sticks on the ice, as the great Jim McNeil said once, and be good to your wieners. Take care, everybody.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.